So now that we completed our bird's eye view of the whole Tanya, which we did last semester, we just barely squeezed it in, I think, getting through the first 53 chapters in overview format. Now we're going to take our parachutes out, as I suggested last semester, and jump down and get more into the nitty-gritty of Tanya. And we'll start in Perek Aleph. There's many places to start, but since we've all sort of been through the bird's eye view, we have a little bit of the overall perspective of Tanya. And again, just to emphasize and to reiterate that the Tanya is very different than every other work of Chassidus, including even within Chabad. It's different than the other works of Chassidus from other, whether it's Breslov or a sefer like Kedushas Levi, whatever the sefer might be, it's different than that. But even within the works of Chabad, and even within the Alter Rebbe's works himself, Tanya is completely different. In that the Tanya is really not trying to teach you Chassidus per se. What the Tanya is trying to do is to teach you a method in how to serve Hashem. And from the beginning all the way to the end, it's a steps and a process in a method of Avodas Hashem. Whereas, take a mimer from the Alter Rebbe, something from one of his fun, look at the Torah or somewhere else, although it definitely teaches you how to serve Hashem, same thing with all the other, any other work, take any work of Chassidus. But usually what it really is, it's something on the Parsha. And within going deep into the Parsha, we uncover Inyanim of Avodas Hashem and Ruchnis and so forth. So again, the Tanya is not like that. The Tanya is a system, and therefore, I think that the only way really to properly understand the Tanya is to view everything in the context of that system. So now we had the overview already of the system of the Tanya. So we'll go straight into Perek Aleph. So Perek Aleph Tanya, B'Sef Perek Gimel Danida. So it says in the Braisa, Mashpi Moisoy Tehei Tzadik Ve'al Tehi Rasha. You are made, the neshama that is made to take an oath to be a tzadik and not to be a rasha. Sounds like a good idea. Even if the entire world, means everybody, tells you, tzadikata, ah, du bist a tzadik. Nah, hey, binecha kirasha. You shouldn't listen to them, you shouldn't believe them, even if everybody's coming up to tell you how great you are, how big of a tzadik you are, don't believe them. Hey, binecha kirasha. You should be like a rasha. That's the quote. Now, right away, we have a question automatically. The Braisa seems to be repetitive. Tehei tzadik, va'al tehi rasha. Well, yeah, obviously. Tehei tzadik means, of course, I'm not going to be a rasha. Those are one and the same thing, seemingly. So off the bat, we have to understand what that means. He doesn't ask that explicitly, but that seems to be a fairly straightforward question on the Braisa. What is it trying to tell me? Seems repetitive. Now, here comes question number one. V'tzorech lohavin dehotnan avos perek beis. It says in Masechta Avos, v'al tirash b'fnei atzmecha. Don't view yourself b'fnei atzmecha. Don't view yourself as a rasha. But the braisa from Nida that we just quoted says, hey, b'necha k'rasha. So which one is it? Should I view myself as a rasha? Or should I not view myself as a rasha? We have a machloikes tanoim. Machloikes between the braisa and the Mishnah. Which one are we supposed to follow? How can we explain this? That's question number one. Question number two really is not actually a second question. It's really the same question as the first question, but al pisvara. Vagam im yehebein of kirasha. If you are going to listen to the words of the Braisa Nida, and you are going to view yourself as a rasha, that's not a very good attitude. Yeiro lovavai. V'yeyotzev. You're going to become very upset, very despondent. You won't be able to serve Hashem properly. After all, imagine if every single morning you woke up and you said to yourself, I'm a total failure. And then you repeated it again before lunch. I'm a total failure. And again before dinner. And again before you went to sleep at night. And then the next morning, I'm a total failure. Imagine what that would do to a person. After all, you start to believe it. And your taka would become a failure. So the way we view ourselves, certainly if we can express it in any way, is very important. It's very relevant. Just psychologically speaking. I should view myself in a positive light. So that's the second question. Again, it's not really a second question. It's the same question as the first one, but Apisvara, if you're going to view yourself as a rasha, that's terrible. You're going to end up depressed. And on the contrary, if you don't end up depressed, if it doesn't affect you negatively, if it doesn't bother you, yeah, I'm a failure, and it doesn't affect you anyway, I'm a Rasha, and it doesn't bother you, that's also bad. You don't care? You're a Rasha, that doesn't bother you? This could bring you to be lighthearted. To, I don't know what the best word is exactly, but nothing matters to you. Nothing serious. I don't take anything seriously. Okay, maybe we don't have to take life too seriously, but I'm a Rasha and it doesn't bother me. Maybe that should bother me a little bit. So what in the world is the Mishnah Masechta in Nida trying to tell me? The Brisa, I'm sorry. Questions or comments so far? Okay. In the Gemara, there are five distinctions, five different categories of people as follows. Number one, tzadik v'toivloi. Number two, tzadik v'raloi. Number three, rasha v'toivloi, rasha v'raloi. And number five, ubenoni. Those are the five categories of people according to the Gemara. Now, what do these things mean? Well, but Pashtus, tzaddik v'toivloi is a tzaddik, and it's toivloi. He has a good life, materially speaking. His gash mystical life is good. Tzaddik v'raloi is a tzaddik, but it's a shvera gash mystical life. Maybe he has health problems, God forbid. Maybe he has he's poor, no money to support the family, whatever it might be. Pashtus, that's tzaddik v'toivloi, tzaddik v'raloi. Now, Pirshu b'Gemara, the Gemara explains, furthermore, what does it mean? Tzadik v'toivloi, tzadik gomor. Tzadik v'raloi, tzadik she'enoi gomor. So we have a slightly different definition here. Tzadik v'toivloi could mean either that the person has a good life, begashmias, or tzadik v'raloi that is a bad life, begashmias. But now from the Gemara, tzadik v'toivloi also means tzadik gomor, complete, versus an incomplete, she'enoi gomor. What does it mean? Raya Mehemna, the Zoyar, Parshas Mishpatim Pidesh, and the Zoyar it says, Tzadik V'raloi doesn't just mean that he's a tzadik, but he has a bad material life, a bad gashmistic life, whether it's problems with health or parnasa, etc., etc. It doesn't just mean that. It means something deeper than that as well. Peter, Tzadik V'raloi, Shaharasha boy, Kofav Lotayf, B'chulu. That there is Ra within him, within the tzadik, but it's Kofav. It's subjugated. It's subdued to the toiv. It doesn't speak its mind, but it's there in some quiet way. So what's the difference between the Gemara and the Zohar in the way they interpret tzadik v'ra'al, tzadik v'toiv, tzadik v'ra'al? Well, one way to view it is that the Gemara is saying, based on the externals, right? If tzadik v'raloi means the person is a tzadik, but they're suffering begashmius, that's external. Whereas the Gemara, shahara sheboy, it's internal. It's something about his internal makeup. Something on the inside lends him to be called a tzadik v'raloi. Now, he continues with his whole analysis. We're going to assume God will get to why is he talking about this and what is this all about. The Gemara says the brachos. The Gemara says that the tzaddik is someone whose yetzer tov is shoifet, meaning there's also a yetzara. There's these two attitudes, these two inclinations. And in the tzaddik, the yetzer tov is the shoifet, is the one who calls the shots. But reshoi yetzara shoifton. In a Rasha, the Yetzer Hara means he also has a Yetzer Tov. But the Yetzer Hara is the one who calls the shots. He says what flies. And Beinonim Zevezer Shevzim V'cholu. And a Beinonim goes both ways. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara calls the shots. Sometimes the Yetzer Tov calls the shots. Period. So up till now, we have what I think is somewhat of a confusing discussion of why are we talking about it anyway? What does it do with all of a sudden? Beginning of Tanya, Tzadik, Viralei, V'tovlei. What does it do with anything? What do I need to know all this for? So it gets more confusing. If it's not confusing already. So you imagine they're learning this Gemara in the yeshiva. Comes Rabba and says, guys, I'm going to give you an example what the Gemara is talking about when it talks about Tzaddik, Beinoni, Rasha. Let me explain it a little bit. Omar Rabba, Rabba says, Raboisai, K'goin Anno Beinoni. You want to know what a Beinoni is? You're confused about that middle term Beinoni? I am a Beinoni. Omar Abaye, Abaye in the basement just says, whoa, 1 second. You're a Beinoni? I thought you were a Tzaddik. Literally means you're not letting any of us live. Or alternatively, to put it in more straightforward letters, if you're a Beinoni, then we're a Rishayim. Because we know that you learn Torah all the time, and you're a big Tzaddik. But if you're a Beinoni, as you're saying, we're in a lot of trouble. L'hoving kol zeber heitiv, to understand all of this well, Tzaddik, Beinoni, Rasha. Further, to understand another complication here, that Iyov says, you have created the righteous and you've created the wicked. But the Al Tereba asks, but in the Gemara Nida, that says that there's a malach that's appointed over every seminal drop to declare what is the nature of this drop going to become. Is it going to be wealthy or poor? Is it going to be strong or weak? But the Gemara then says, Tzadik v'rosh alei komar. But it's not predetermined. Everything else is predetermined. Except, the Gemara says in Masechta Nida over there, that Tzadik v'rosh is not predetermined. So how could Iyov say, Barasa tzadikim? You created tzadikim. Or Barasa Rashaim, either way. So all this we need to understand. But it's all going to hinge on the Beinoni. Because again, this is the Sefer Shel Beinoni. That's going to be the focus. Questions or comments so far? Okay. V'gam lohovin mehus madregas ha-Beinoni. We really need to get to the core of what is the Beinoni. Now here comes what for many is the first chiddush of Tanya. Shevavada yeni mechtz zuchuis mechtz avoynis. There's no way that a Beinoni is half and half. Half mitzvahs and half avers. That's what the word indicates, right? Beinoni is the middle path. Okay, he's kind of like a tzaddik, he's kind of like a rasha. So he must be half mitzvahs and half avers. No way the Alter Rebbe says. Absolutely not. Now he's going to go to prove it, based on sources. First of all, she'im kein, eich ta'ar rabba ba'atzma lemeshu beinoni. If a Beinoni is 50%, or maybe only 49%, maybe, Averis, then how did Rabba mistakenly call himself a Beinoni? He didn't think that he was half Averis. V'noida, it's known, the Leiposi Puma Megirsa. He was constantly learning all the time. And to the extent, ad, Shafila Malachamavis lehoyo yocholishlitboy. It came his time, the Abishah sends the Malachamavis to take him away. And the Malachamavis was not able to chop him because he was constantly engrossed in Limud HaTorah. And when the person is involved in Limud HaTorah, the Malach HaMavis has no shlita over the person. So the Malach HaMavis comes, tries to do his job, and he can't. Imagine, it's very frustrating. Usually, Malach HaMavis says, look, when I come to do the job, usually you come with me, usually. Rabba, it was impossible, he couldn't get him. Until eventually, the Gemara tells us that something distracted Rabba. When he was distracted, that's when the Malach HaMavis was able to grab him. So we see from that how intensely involved in Avodas Hashem he was all the time. Learning Torah all the time. If you're learning Torah all the time, how often do you sin? Never, you don't have time. So therefore, how could Rabba have mistakenly said about himself, hey guys, I'm 50% of Averis? There's no way he thought that. What many people have said to me at this point is he was being humble. He knew he wasn't. Really, he knew he was not 50% of heirs, but he was being humble. That's what many people have said to me here. What do you think about that? Why not?
It's something that to do mitzvot and not do heirs is something constantly one needs to work on. So it can't mean that he was humbling himself. It means that he's continuing with that struggle or...
Okay. Okay. Good. That's nice. Absolutely. another thing is that humility doesn't mean to say something that's not true. Humility, really, real humility means if you're a tzaddik, someone says, are you a tzaddik? You say yes. It's not humility to say, no, me a tzaddik? I'm not a tzaddik. I'm almost a rasha. Come on. That's not humility. Humility means that, am I a tzaddik? Yeah, I'm a tzaddik. Everybody knows it. What, am I supposed to lie about the truth that everybody already knows? Humility rather means thinking to oneself that if someone else had been given the koichos that I had been given, they would be much better, much more accomplished, and they would have done much better in their life. Did I become a tzaddik? Yeah, I became a tzaddik, but I had this advantage, I had that advantage. If someone else had been in my shoes and had my been born into my family with my neshama and so on and so forth, they would have accomplished so much more. That's a little more the taste of humility. Or alternatively, recognizing that even though I taka am a tzaddik, even though I have accomplished ABC, whatever, it wasn't really me. Eibishter gave me brachos, and I had help and assistance, and hey, Hashem helped me out so many times along the way. Me, I accomplished all this? It wasn't really me. That's also a little more humility. But stam to say no about something that's true, that's not humility. That's being false. So, Frekt al Rebbe, how could it be that Rabbah said, I'm a Benoni? If he was not, he was a tzaddik. That's point number one. He's building his case. You know, like a lawyer, Lavdil, builds the case. The Alter Rebbe is building the case now for a redefinition of tzaddik and Benoni and Rasha. We're going to redefine these terms completely. Va'oid, and furthermore, when a person does an avera chas v'sholom, nikra rasha gomer. What is your halachic status? Not your, but what is one's halachic status when one does an avera? Rasha. You can't be an aid. Pasul eidus, you're a rasha. And of course, v'machakach chas tshuva, nikra tzadik gomer. How long does it take to do tshuva and become a tzadik gomer? Takes a moment. Like this, a person could resolve firmly within themselves, I'm leaving behind my past, I'm turning over a new leaf from now on, clean slate, moving forward. The person's a tzaddik gomer at that point. Al pi halacha works that way. So if a person does averos, right away, they're a rasha. Forget Benoni, they're a rasha. And further, not even a doraisa, but a so-called iser kal, a simple avera, a small avera, midrabona, mikiri rasha, is also a rasha. So if a person transgresses a derabonan, they vait to become a rasha. And now it gets even worse. A person has in their capacity to rebuke or to basically to prevent another person from doing an avera, but they don't, and they just sit by and allow the other person to do an avera. You didn't even do anything. Guess what? Nikra Rasha, the peg of the shvois. Again, you're called a Rasha for not even doing anything. Just sitting by and letting another person sin, you're a rasha. All the more so if the person misses the opportunity to do a mitzvah sasei that he was able to do. Obviously not missing the opportunity to do a mitzvah sasei that you were not able to do. But a mitzvah sasei that you were able to do, you had the opportunity to learn, ablat gemara, whatever it is, ve'eino oisik, but you don't. That's a bitul mitzvah sasei. Sha'ol of dushu razal kidvar Hashem baza. The sages say that this person has disgraced the word of Hashem. Hikaris tikaris. So again, you didn't even do anything. You just sat there and did not learn when you had the opportunity to learn. Again, rasha. Upshita, it's obvious. The mikre rasha tfei me'ovir isid rabonan. That a person who's who does bittul Torah means they are mevatel a mitzvah saseh, mina Torah. is more of a rasha, is even worse than someone who's over Isra Drabanan. For sure. So, if the person does a veirois, the raisa, they're a rasha. If they're over an isl kal, shall divrei soifrim, they're a rasha. If they sit back and allow another person to sin, they're a rasha. If they are mevatel a mitzvah saseh, I mean, you didn't even do anything. You just sat there, passively. Rasha. So, v'im kain. So, we're back to the point now. So the Beinoni doesn't even have the Aveira of Bittul Torah. Which, by the way, elsewhere in the Gemara, it says that this is an Aveira that it's almost impossible to stay away from. Bittul Torah. The Beinoni doesn't even do that. Because if a person does Bittul Torah, they're not a Beinoni, they're a Rasha. Rabbah was loy pasik puma megirsa. He learned all the time. He never had bittul Torah. He wasn't a rasha. He was a tzaddik. If you do it one time, you don't go from tzaddik to beinoni, and then a few more averas. Eventually, you get over to rasha. It's like a spectrum. No, you're a tzaddik. You do an avera, you're a beinoni. You do an avera, you're a rasha. So umishum hachi ta rabbah ba'atul lo mishum beinoni, and since of this fact. That the Beinoni does not have even Bittul Torah. And therefore he's strikingly similar to a tzaddik. Almost indistinguishable. That's how Rabbah made the mistake. They said, guys, I'm a Beinoni. Because if the Beinoni had a Averos, Bittul Torah, or any Avera for that matter, then Rabbah would never say, yeah, I'm that guy who does Averis. Because we know he doesn't do Averis. And he knew he also didn't do Averis. Like Pasuk Puma Megirsa. Typically, for a person to make a mistake, there's maybe one of two ways a person might make a mistake. Maybe there's more ways, I don't know. I can think of two ways, it could be there's more. One way would be lack of knowledge, lack of information. It's not usually a good excuse. If the cop pulls you over, says, do you know this was a school zone? I didn't know it was a school zone. Don't give me a ticket. The fact that you don't know is your problem. The cop's going to write you a ticket anyway. Just because you didn't know the rule is your problem. So one way a person might make a mistake is lack of knowledge. Again, it doesn't let you off the hook, but lack of knowledge, I didn't know, therefore I made a mistake. Another possible way a person might make a mistake, maybe this happened, it's happened to me before. You park your car somewhere in a parking lot, you go into the store, buy whatever you need to buy, you come back out, you go over to the car, you put your key to the door. Oh, wrong car. Well, you don't know your car? Never happened to you? Never happened to you. Happened to you? Not to you either, okay. Well, it's happened to me. It's happened to many other car owners. How does such a thing happen? Well, it's very simple. It's always you go to the same car as yours, the same Honda Accord or whatever it is. That just seems like a popular Jewish car to have, so it's a Honda Accord. Maybe Odyssey, maybe if you're already married, whatever. You go over to the same make and model, the same color, and it's in the same general area. Oh, no, that's not my car. And you realize afterwards. So another way a person might make a mistake is between two things that are very similar. Oh, no, that was a mistake. That wasn't my car. But it looks exactly like my car. Same make, same model, same color, same general area of the parking lot. That's how I made a mistake. So too Rabbah. Rabbah's not going to make a mistake from someone who does Averis, someone who does not do Averis. Those are incomparable. Rather, he made a mistake between two things, two vehicles, which are strikingly similar, almost indistinguishable. Same car. Same color. Everything. Beinoni, tzaddik. Oh, I'm a Beinoni. Really, you're a tzaddik. But you made a mistake to think you were a Beinoni because it was so similar to a tzaddik that you were able to mistakenly think that's your car, even though it wasn't. So too Rabbah thinks he's a Beinoni, even though really he's a Tzaddik. Now really he's not going to come back to this fully until Perek Yud Gimel. Comments or questions so far? that's the beginning of Tanya. Really, these ideas aren't fleshed out till much later. Off the bat, the Alter Rebbe is readjusting our perspective. He's telling us, you know, even things that you think you know, you got to reevaluate those. Tzaddik, you know, you don't ever heard the term tzaddik. You never heard the term Rasha, Beinoni. You don't know these terms. You know these terms. You know what a tzaddik is. You know what a Beinoni is. You know what a Rasha is. Right off the bat. No, you don't. We have to reevaluate our terms. Even things that we think we knew already. This is already the introduction, the first page of Tanya. Take something that we are familiar with and turn it all upside down and reevaluate the whole thing till we come up to a new understanding. So you have three types of people. You have the tzaddik and the Beinoni and the Rasha. The Tanya again is about the Beinoni. The tzaddik never sins. Not in his thought or his speech or his action. The Rasha occasionally does sin in either thought, speech, or action. And the Beinoni, where is he on the spectrum? He's right over here, right next to the tzaddik. Because he also never sins in his thought, speech, or action. It's the same car. On the outside, that is. The same vehicle. It looks identical. The difference is what's under the hood. The tzaddik, as he's going to say later, as we discussed last semester, doesn't have the internal conflict. The Beinoni does. But you can't see that. Only the Beinoni knows. No one else knows. Now, the Alter Rebbe is left having to address everyone else in the world. Everyone other than the Tanya, who says that a Beinoni is half and half. A bunch of Averes and a bunch of Mitzvahs. And a Tzaddik is someone who's mostly Mitzvahs. Because that's the way most people think of these terms. So he has to address that now. This that people say, the Mechza, Mechza Mikra Beinoni, that about 50-50 Averes Mitzvahs is a Beinoni, V'rev Zichuiz Mikra Tzaddik. And as long as you have mostly Mitzvahs, then you're called a Tzaddik. So how are we supposed to explain that? That's the way most people understand these terms. So how do we understand these terms? So it says, Hushem HaMushol Le'in Schar V'Oinish. It's a borrowed term. L'Schar V'Oinish. What does it mean, a borrowed term? A borrowed term, at least how I understand it, what I think it means, it's not an essential description of who the person is. Rather, there is a system in Yiddishkeit called Schar V'Oinish. So we have to figure out, there has to be some court somewhere that's able to determine, is the person going to get punished or are they going to get rewarded? Not that this is the focus of anywhere in Chassidus, but it's part of Yiddishkeit. So the concept of a tzaddik being roiv zechuyos is with regards to schar v'oinish. A person who has roiv zechuyos is called tzaddik in a halachic sense and gets schar. But that doesn't mean that he is essentially at his core a tzaddik, the way we're talking about in the Tanya, that the tzaddik is someone who never sins in thought, speech, or action and doesn't even have an internal conflict. It's a borrowed term for schar v'oinish. Lefishanido nacharuboi. The person is judged after their majority. Umikra tzaddik bedinoi. And he's called a tzaddik with regards to his din, his judgment. Me'achash zeich bedin. Avalein and amita shema toya arva miles or miles madregas haluka is tzaddik mebeinonim. But with regards to the true definition of what they are, of what the tzaddik and the beinoni are, umrazal tzaddik mi yetzer toiv shoifton. The tzaddik the yetzer toiv is shoifet. My heart is empty in my midst, David HaMelech says. Why is my heart empty? He didn't have a Yitzhahara. He killed his Yitzhahara. All he was left is a Yitzhah Tov. So who calls the shots? Yitzhah Tov. It's the only option. Anyone who does not have that darga of Libi Cholo Bekirbi, that there is no more Yitzhahara going on inside. Which means, in plain English, there's no struggle not to do the mitzvahs I say and not to stay away from the mitzvahs I say. No struggle. Even though he's a tzaddik in the legal sense, because he has mostly mitzvahs, he's completely not a tzaddik at all. The Eibusher saw that there are few tzaddikim. Now we can understand why there's so few. This is a serious business. No averus at all, and not even a yitzhara. So therefore, Omer Vashoslam Becholder Vador, so he planted tzaddikim in different generations. As it says, that tzaddik is the foundation of the world. Okay. Comments or questions? Okay. Now all of this gets left hanging for numerous prakim. And we now digress. Well, it's not really a digression. Really, it's going to answer the question. It's going to take a while. And we're really going to come back to it, chapters 9 through 14. It's going to come back to these definitions and a better understanding of this. Specifically, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. So he says then like this, Achbir ha'inyan, and this is where we started last semester with this nakuda over here. Achbir ha'inyan al pima shkosav al-chaim vital zal b'shara kadusha, b'yitz chaim shara nun pek beis. It says in Kabbalah, d'l'chol ish yisrael echa tzadik v'echa d'rasha, for every single yid, saya tzadik un saya d'rasha, yesh shtey neshamois, has two neshamois. D'chsiv neshamois ane yasisi, I made souls, loshen rabbim, shen shtey nefashois, the two neshamois, two souls. This is not the Alter Rebbe's Chiddush. This is from Kabbalah. It's from the Arizal. Achbir ha'inyin can be through this. We can understand everything through this. You have to know that a Yid has two neshamos. Why is that so important? Why do we have to know this? Okay, the Arizal writes it. Very nice. Why do I have to know this? What's so important about this? So first of all, one thing that stands out immediately is the term neshamos. I don't mean neshamos as opposed to nefesh. I mean soul. Everything in the Gemara, the Gemaras that we had in the previous page, talking about a yetzer. It's a tov, it's a ra, etc. What's the difference? Well, the difference is fundamental. And I think this gives us part of the approach of the Tanya. To align ourselves in the mindset of the Alter Rebbe. What's a yetzer? A yetzer we know means an inclination. What's an inclination? An inclination is, it's not me. It's what I lean towards. It's what I'm inclined to do. But it's not necessarily a description of me. I'm inclined to do this, and I'm also inclined to do that. Nefesh, or neshama, is me. So it's not just a question of what type of yetzer hara, or yetzer tov do I have. It's l'chol ish yisrael, echad tzadik ve'echad rasha. Yesh shtei neshamois. Every single Yid. One is called the godly soul, one is called the animal soul. The difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, therefore, is, if I could say something controversial, nothing. There is no difference. L'chol ish Yisrael echad tzadik ve'echad rasha yesh shtei neshamois. They have the same neshamois. Each has a nefesh abamis, an animal soul, and a nefesh elokis, a godly soul. Why is one guy a tzadik, one guy is Moshe Rabbeinu, the other guy is not? It's all a question of, you have the neshama. It's a question is, how much has that been brought to the surface? How much is the neshama revealed? But the Rasha, he has it too. He has a neshama also, but it's a Rasha. His actions. But fundamentally, at the core, it's the same neshama as the tzaddik. I'm simplifying, it's obviously not mamish the same. Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is a little bit different than mine, that's for sure. But in a sense, this is a tremendously equalizing statement that gives everyone the opportunity to rise to the greatest heights. It's not about a yetzer, an inclination, something outside of me. It's me. I have an natural kiss. I have a godly soul. This is something that I have and I can tap into, just like the tzaddik taps into it. Again, I'm simplifying for the sake of trying to make a point. It's not mamash the same. Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is a higher level than my neshama. But nevertheless, this is a fundamental point. Biur ha'inyan. You have to know that you have a neshama. You're fundamentally different than everything around you. You're not just a hunk of flesh with an inclination to eat chazer. Chas v'shalom, an inclination to do good things too. Much more. It's a much deeper and more profound definition of who I actually am. I have a godly soul. Questions, comments? And this is how the Alter Rebbe is trying to align us in Perek Aleph of Tanya. To know, number one, I have to evaluate even things I'm familiar with already. Evaluate and reevaluate. Tzadik, Benoni, Rasha. What do these terms mean? And he goes through all the proofs that Benoni is not what you thought it was. It's not a half and a half. A Benoni is almost indistinguishable from a tzadik, and he proves it. And step two, we are fundamentally different from everything around us. We have this tremendously profound and powerful neshama. That's who I am. And much later in the Tanya, he says, since you have these two neshamas, by the way, Nefesh Bahamas and Nefesh Elokis, who you are is the Nefesh Elokis. That's your essence. And so it's a tremendously uplifting perspective that really at the core, I'm pure and I'm holy. I just got to bring it out. I got to tap into it. And in the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is going to help me discover how can I push away the dirt from on top? How can I reveal it? How can I tap into it? But it's already there. Comments, questions, thoughts, feelings, emotions. Is this new, old, familiar, similar, different? I don't know if this is all brand new to you guys or if it's
familiar.
Chazar a little bit familiar. Okay, so thanks for bearing with me. To be continued, God willing, next week.
Hopefully with a bigger turnout.
Amen. Every youth counts. Every youth has a neshama.
That's right.
That's why, by the way, that one of the reasons why the Rebbe placed such an emphasis on just reaching one yid. One yid is a neshama. What's better than that? Two yidin is better. Two times neshama. I mean, it is better, but a one yid is a yid. So, anyway, l'chaim. I'll see you guys next week. God willing.